There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you, Brother McVeigh, for letting me on your podcast. I want to go to the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. And I want to look at the servant of sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:20, "For when ye were the servants of sin, you were made free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's three brief things that I want you to notice in this passage of scripture that I just read. He said in verse 20, "For when ye were the servants of sin," that's what I want to talk about today, the servants of sin. Another thing that I want to notice is I want you to notice the fruit of the servant of sin. When a man gets saved and he's changed and he's born of God, the Bible tells us in verse 21, "What fruit had ye in it then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Another thing that I want you to notice is that there's a change that takes place in a person that is a servant of sin and becomes a servant to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to read that verse 21 again, because the Bible said, "What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye're now ashamed?" People that live in a state of sin are oftentimes in these days proud of their sinful lifestyle, and they're pleased with their sinful lifestyle. But when you get saved, there's a change that takes place in your life, and you no longer take pleasure in the sins of this world. You no longer take pleasure in the sins of your past. Verse 22, the Bible said, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." There's a change that takes place in the life of each and every person that's ever been saved. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new." And I tell you what, I wouldn't give you anything for a preacher that doesn't preach that a change doesn't take place in your life. Whenever you get saved, there's a change that takes place. You'll become a new person. You'll no longer love the sins that you've committed. And let me tell you something. Whenever you get saved, you'll begin to love the Word of God. And when you get saved, you'll love the church. And when you get saved, you'll love His commandments. The Bible said, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I knoweth Him, and keepeth not His commandments," the Bible said, "he is a liar, and the truth is not in him." When you get saved, there's a change that takes place in your life. I was talking about it just the other day at church. I can remember the rules and the regulations that my dad had upon me and my brothers when we were just little boys. And I remember growing up and resenting some of the rules that I had in my life because I was a rebel and I wanted to sin. And I can remember most of my teenage years that I tried to avoid my dad. I didn't want to see my dad. And the reason why is because he took a stand against many of the sins that I was wanting to live in. So I tried to avoid my dad and tried to keep things secret from him at all costs. But there was a day when God stepped into my life and he changed me. And my dad today is my very best friend. In fact, it was my dad that began to rejoice in the Lord whenever my heart was smitten in me about my sinful life and my sinful condition. And this day, my dad's my best friend. And let me tell you something. The day that I got born again, the day that my life changed, my mother and my father, I no longer hated them for the regulations in my life, because the God of all glory put the love of God in my heart. And I began to love the rules that my mom and dad put in my life. I began to love the things that they tried to hold me back from instead of resenting them for it. There's a change that takes place in your life when you get saved. Nobody had to tell me that I needed to go to church as much as I possibly could. But I can remember when a change took place in my life. And I found myself going to church, going to revival meetings, going to camp meetings, going to church every time the door was open. I took pleasure in going to church. I remember the week that I got saved, I thought my heart would burst within me because I wanted to be in church so bad. I wanted to be in the house of God. What do you say does that? Jesus Christ stepped in and he made a change in my life. He made a change in my heart and he made a different person out of me. There's a change that I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture. Let me tell you something. There's a word in the Bible that I want us to notice here that's been under attack for some time. The Bible says that they were made the servants of sin. The word servant is under attack. Eight out of ten of the modern Bible versions have replaced the word servant with the word slave. 8 out of 10 most popular Bible versions have changed that. And let me tell you something. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians 6:5 that the servant is to obey his master. It didn't say the word slave, but almost every Bible version uses the word slave instead of servant. And there's a difference between a slave and a servant. Leviticus 25, most of the Bible versions that you'll read today change the word servant. And Leviticus 25 is where you find the law of the servant. And they change the word to slave. The word slave. And it didn't say that they were made the slave of sin. It said that they were made the servant of sin. And the sad thing is that God deniers and Bible deniers of our day have taken these modern Bible versions and they discredited the Word of God, tried to discredit the Word of God because these modern Bible versions use the word slave instead of servant. And would you believe that modern Bible versions of today, nearly every one of them justify slavery, and they say that it lines up with God's law and God's word. But you do not find that in the King James Bible. And when you run into God deniers that say that the Bible justifies slavery, you will not find that in a King James Bible. You might find it in an NIV, an ESV, an RSV. You might find it in the new translations of the day, but you will not find that in the King James Bible. And there's some difference between a slave and a servant. Some of those differences are a slave has no rights. A slave has no rights, but a servant has rights. Another difference is that a slave works involuntarily. And when we think about slavery, we think about it from an American standpoint, where we went and snatched people up out of their lands in Africa and brought them across the Atlantic Ocean to America. The Bible is very much against that in the sense that the Bible talks about being a stealer. The Bible said, thou shalt not steal. And the Bible talks about being a man stealer. The Bible commanded us not to steal men from their lands and from their properties against their will, and to take them as slaves, and to take them and to use them for our benefit. Now, let me tell you something. The slave works involuntarily, but the servant works voluntarily. When a servant does his labor and submits himself to a master, he's done such in a very voluntary way. and you look up the word voluntary in the Bible, there was men in the Bible that would take their burnt offerings to the tabernacle, and they did that in a voluntary way, not in an involuntary way. It wasn't something that they were doing by compulsory, but when you took a burnt offering to the tabernacle, to the door of the tabernacle, they did that voluntarily. Why? Because it was a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of God. And they wanted to do something that pleased God. Something that cost them that pleased God. And here you find the slave works involuntarily, but the servant works voluntarily. The slave and slavery was always intended to bring some man down, but the servant in the Bible was always meant, in most cases, not always, but in most cases, was meant to bring men out of their poverty and out of their low condition that they were in. When you read in the book of Leviticus chapter 25, the Bible tells us that when your brother or an Israelite person was waxing poor, then they could go to a man whenever they owed a debt and get that man to pay that debt. And whenever he paid that debt, he submitted to that master as a servant, and he worked for that man for 6 years until the year of Jubilee. That is the law of the servant. What was that doing? It was intended to bring that man out of his poverty and out of his condition of being in debt and to help him in the condition that he was in. And in most cases you find in the Bible, being a servant helps to bring men out of their condition and out of their poverty and out of the situation that they're in, it actually brings them up. Let me say this, the difference between a slave and a servant is that a slave receives no pay, but a servant will receive something in return. When that servant went in and asked a master to pay some debt for him that he could not pay himself, then that man paid that debt and he worked. In many cases, as you find in the book of Leviticus 25, he worked as a hired servant. He worked for something in return. And even the stranger worked for something in return when he was waxing poor. He was brought out of his poverty. He was given a place to live and a place to stay and food to eat and clothes to wear. And he was helped by being brought out of his poverty. You find that in the book of Leviticus 25. The Bible tells us that God commanded the Israelite people to never be as the Egyptians and to hold anybody in slavery in the way that the Egyptians tried to hold the Israelites in slavery and to make them work in such a cruel way as the Egyptians did. And there's a couple things that I want you to notice. I said in most conditions, it brings men, that servitude brings men out of their situation of poverty. But there is a place that we find in the Word of God where the servant is brought down and the servant is brought low, and it's whenever the man has become a servant of sin. He's brought down and he's brought low. Let me say this about the servant of sin. I believe just like the servant works for a man voluntarily, the servant of sin sins voluntarily. Let me tell you something. There's people that act as if they cannot help a lot of the things that they're doing. But I'll be honest with you that I believe most people that are living in sin are sinning exactly because they want to and because that's the desire of their heart. I'll say this, that I believe with all my heart in most of our churches, the reason why most people are having a hard time being saved, and you find people out in the world that are having a hard time being saved, is for two reasons. Number one, there's some sin that they do not want to give up. They love their sin. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil and they would not come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. The other reason is secrets that men do not want to give up. There's secrets that people are holding on to of perversions. There's secrets that men are holding on to of adulteries. There's secrets that men are holding on to of pornographies. There's sins that people are holding on to of drunkenness. There's people that I found out sitting in church pews, people that I love that are even saved today, that had a secret life of drunkenness and they tried to hide it from their wives. They tried to hide it from their children. They tried to hide it from everybody. They lived a secret life of sin. Let me tell you something. There's two things I believe that are a great hindrance to people today. One is sins and the other one is secrets. And there's some secrets and sins that people need to get dealt with in their heart and life in these days. Not only that, A servant of sin receives a just reward. A servant of sin receives a reward. A slave does not receive a reward. A slave does not work involuntarily or voluntarily, works involuntarily. A slave of sin does not receive a reward, but a servant of sin receives a reward. And the Bible never did say that they were slaves of sin. He said that they were the servant of sin. In Romans 6, 21, he said, "What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Verse 23, Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is a repayment. There is a payment for the servant of sin. One of the things that you receive as a servant of sin, you'll receive temporary pleasure. Moses, he rejected the pleasures of sin for a season, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Whenever you're the servant of sin, you will receive temporary pleasure. You will receive temporary pleasure. And there's a lot of folks that live in temporary happiness and temporary pleasure, but they do not live a joyful life. They live a miserable life. Not only that, whenever you're a servant of sin, you receive a bitter life, a bitter life. And let me tell you something, there's a lot of folks today that live a bitter life. They're bitter in their marriages. They're bitter in their home life. There's people, young men today, that their lives are wrecked and ruined by sin. There's little girls whose lives are wrecked and ruined by sin. There's people that sit in churches whose lives are miserable and they're self-righteous and they have no peace with God, and they sit back and gossip and bicker and complain and whine and backbite and slander and everything under the sun, because the servant of sin does receive a reward. He receives a bitter life. Not only does he receive a bitter life, his ultimate reward is, the Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." His ultimate reward that he will receive is death. Not only that, about his reward, but the servant of sin has a cruel taskmaster. Just like the Israelites when they were in Egypt, I want you to notice something that we find in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible said, "And it came to pass in process of time," this is when the Israelite people were in bondage in Egypt, and whenever they had cruel taskmasters and they were made to work hard, and the Bible said that they worked and they labored with rigor. They had a hard time working and laboring. Things were made awfully hard on them. The Bible said, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." There's three things I want you to notice that the Israelite people did whenever they were under their cruel taskmaster. The Bible tells us that they sighed. And I don't know if you've ever been in such situations in your life, such grief and heartache, that you just sit back and you sighed because of the grief and the burden and the heartache that you bore. The Bible tells us also that there was a groaning that the Israelite people did because of the hardness of their life, because the bitterness of their life. The Bible said that they groaned. Whenever you look up the word groan, that is a low bass voice when you breathe out. Whenever you're in very much grief, you'll find people oftentimes groan. And it's a very, very awful thing. The Bible tells us not only did they sigh, not only did they groan, but they cried. And when they cried, their cry came up unto God. And I can imagine those Israelite people in the dust of the earth on their knees and on their hands as they worked and labored 7 days a week in utter misery. They began to cry and scream out to God, "Oh God, would you help me? Oh God, would you do something?" And they began to cry and they began to scream out to God. And when they did, the God of Israel heard their cry. And when I think about crying, I think about the prodigal son who left his father and he went to a far country and he began to spend all that he had on riotous living and in an ungodly life. And whenever he came to himself, he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and he spent all that he had. When he came to himself, you find a verse in the Bible where he began to talk about his father's servants. He said, my father's servants have bread and to spare. And you find an exclamation point after that. You find the prodigal son crying there in the dust of the earth, there feeding his belly with the husk that the swine would eat. Not only do I think about the cry of the prodigal son, I think about the cry of the Son of God who was hanged upon the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he gave up the ghost, his soul went into the lower parts of the earth and his soul went into hell and he began to cry. And the Bible said in the book of Psalms, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and he saved him out of all of his trouble. And when the Israelites cried, God brought them out of bondage, out of that cruel bondage in Egypt, brought them into Canaan's land, into a place of rest. And I think about that lovely Bible verse that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You might be made the servant of sin today, but you can be made free through the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing.